The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm concluding my second week of teaching entitled Don't Limit God. And this is something that the Lord has used really miraculously in my life. And I taught this for the first time in 2002. That's when the Lord spoke to me about this. And recently the Lord has been challenging me again that I need to start thinking bigger, that I need to start planning on even greater things. You don't ever just get to where you've released all of the potential that God has placed on the inside of you. It's an ongoing process. And so as the Lord was speaking to me, I recently had a series in Phoenix, Arizona, and I taught on this. And I thought it would be beneficial to come and share this with you because I believe that all of us are shooting and hitting a mark that is less than what God intends for us. So this is what we've been talking about. I use Psalm 78:41 to show that God can be limited by our unbelief. We have a part to play. God doesn't just sovereignly make things come to pass. I also talked about how that we have to recognize that God has a purpose for our life. God created us. I used Paul and Jeremiah as examples of this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision, a goal for your life, it's impossible for you to fulfill it accidentally. And then on our program yesterday, I started sharing about how that one of the things, after you understand these first two things, that you have a part to play, God doesn't just automatically make things happen, that you have been created by God, and there is a singular, perfect plan of God for your life, and you have to see it, find it, and pursue it. Once you understand that, then it's going to take effort on your part. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. I used some scriptures about how the slothful man will never prosper. Things won't work. And in the kingdom of God, spiritually speaking, it takes effort to seek God and to pursue God. And there's a lot of people that their whole life is just geared towards the least path of resistance. They're like water that just goes to the lowest level, regardless of whatever it is. And I tell you, you aren't going to succeed. You're going to limit God with that kind of an attitude. You got to become aggressive. Scripture says over in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it's verse 12, that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, for years I didn't understand that verse, but I've come to realize now that what this is talking about is you've got to get an attitude to where you are violent. You got to get an aggressive attitude, not to where you intend to do people hurt, but an aggressive attitude to where you see God's plan for your life and you're going for it. You know, another way of saying this, and I use this saying often, but as long as you can live without God's perfect will in your life, you will. In other words, if you will settle for second best, if you will settle for something less than what God has for you, then you will. You've got to reach a place, you've got to have an attitude to where you are saying that this is not God's will for my life. I am not content to stay in this place, and you've got to get up. You know, it reminds me of those lepers that were over in at the gate of Samaria, and there was a famine because the Syrians had the town of Samaria besieged. And so there was a famine. People were actually eating animals and human dung. They were eating their own young, and I mean the people were just about to be destroyed. And these lepers who were sitting at the gate, they were kicked out of the city because they were lepers. And they finally said this. They said, "How long are we going to sit here until we die? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die of famine." Says, "Let's go out to the enemy. The worst that they could do is kill us." You know what? Most people wouldn't follow that line of logic. They would sit there, and because of the potential danger, they would sit there and starve to death rather than move. They would be content with a bad situation because they're afraid that it could be worse. You know what? That attitude is going to limit God every time. If you are just trying to play it as safe as you possibly can and refusing to take any risk, you're going to miss God's best for your life. You know what they did? They finally got up and they went out and committed themselves to the Syrians. And when they got there, it turned out that the Lord had made the Syrians hear this noise. They thought it was an army coming against them. And they took up and ran, and they left their tents up. The food was still going. The fires were still going. There was abundance of wealth. There was food. These lepers went from being outcast and starving to death to where they were, gorged. They were absolutely full, and they became the heroes and brought the news back to the city of Samaria and became famous because of it. And all because they were willing to get up and pursue something. You've got to have this kind of an attitude. And I don't know if I've made my point clear, but I just know in dealing with people that there's lots of you watching this program, and I'm saying this out of love. I'm not saying it to criticize you, but there are a lot of you that are just complacent. You aren't content. You know that there's more. You know that there is a greater potential, especially through God, than what you've ever experienced, and yet you would rather sit there and suffer being bored and being miserable because it could be worse. And you're just afraid to do anything. I'm telling you, you will limit God with that kind of an attitude. You got to get up and put forth the effort and let the chips fall where they may, run the risk or whatever. But you've got to be motivated. You got to become aggressive. The violent take the kingdom by force. Here's a verse in Proverbs chapter 29. And in verse 25, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." And what I was just talking about being aggressive and doing something, it also touches on this same thing. But another thing that limits God and what He wants to do in your life is just this fear of the unknown. There's a lot of people that would rather accept the limitations of what they do know and stay there than to take a chance and go out and do something. I've actually heard reports back during the Civil War in the United States where there were slaves that didn't want to be set free when the Emancipation Proclamation was given by President Lincoln. Even though they were slaves and even though they were abused and even though all of the horrors of slavery and all of those things, there were people that they had security. They knew they would be fed. They might be beaten. They might have their wife and children taken away, but they had the security of the master was going to take care of them. And there are actual reports of slaves who did not want freedom because they were afraid of accepting that responsibility on their own. I tell you, fear like that brings a snare to you, and it's going to limit what God can do in your life. You are going to have to take a risk. And there's a lot of people that are just too afraid to do that. But you know, I believe it's just the opposite. I'm afraid of just living a normal life. And I'm afraid of being just like everybody else. I don't like that. That terrifies me. I'd hate to look back at the end of my life and think, you know what, I played it too safe. Man, I could have done more. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, that when you reach the end of your life, you say, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I'm pressing for the prize. I don't want to just cross the finish line. I want to win the race. I want to do what God's called me to do. You have to get rid of fear. And let me break this into a couple of different things. You know, there's not only a fear of failure. I'm going to talk about that. I've mentioned it to some degree. But when the Lord spoke to me in January of 2002 about how I had limited God, and one of the things that I was limiting God through is my fear. But you know what? Mine, it was subtle. It wasn't a fear of failure. It wasn't a fear that if I start believing God and step out there and in my situation take on all of the added debt of being on television. Television is super expensive. Right now we spend over $500,000 a month, closer to $600,000 a month in just the airtime that we buy. And that's not including all of the people it takes to do this. Usually it's at least as much support people as it is the actual airtime. So probably $1 million a month of this ministry is directly related to TV. It's expensive. There wasn't only the fear of doing that and not having the money to pay for it. You know what my greatest fear was? And this is going to surprise some of you, and it may be something you'll have to think about. But my fear was success. I was fearful of success because I had seen other people, and there's a lot of scriptural examples of this too, people that started out with a pure heart towards God, and when success came, it corrupted them and it defiled them. Here's a statement that is going to seem contrary to many of you, but I really believe this to be true through studying the Word, that success has destroyed more people than failure ever did. Hardship is not the greatest test of your life. The greatest test you'll ever endure is when everything is working and there's success and everybody's singing your praises and everything looks good. You know what? That's when people tend to unplug from God and become self-sufficient. When your back is against the wall and it looks like failure and tragedy is imminent, do you know what the average person does? They seek God. I mean, they'll pull closer to God. They'll spend more time studying the Word and praying, and they'll seek God when they get in trouble. When you are in a crisis situation, it's obvious to people how God-dependent you need to be, how you need a miracle from God. But it's just the opposite. When things are going good, the average person does not spend near as much time seeking the Lord and praying, and people become self-sufficient. And the moment you do that, you have just written your own demise. It happens every time. I've used this example before, but it's like flying in a plane. It's not you that is flying 500 miles an hour, 35,000 feet above sea level. It's that plane that is flying there, and it's only your position and your relationship inside of that plane that allows you to do that. And if you ever get to, you know, thinking, boy, look what I'm doing, and think that it's your own ability and it's your own power, you step outside of that plane, and I guarantee you, you'll drop like a rock. You have to maintain that relationship inside of that plane to be able to do that. And it's the same thing with God. If you go to trusting God, and if God grants you success and things start working, say, for instance, God leads you to go out and start a business, something that has been a dream of yours your whole life. When you're in the crisis stage of starting up and you don't know whether it's going to work and you're fighting all of the frustrations of starting a new business, you know what? It's easy to be God-dependent when you don't know for sure if it's going to work, when you're staring defeat in the face and you're having to fight through that. Man, it's easy to seek God. But when your business begins to prosper and all of a sudden, boy, you got money coming in and you're hiring people and things are going good and people are singing your praises and they're saying, boy, look what you've done. Did you know that the average person will seek God less in a situation like that because they just don't recognize the need? And what I'm saying is that that success actually is a more vulnerable time for you than when you're under pressure. And you can see that in the Word of God. I could go through and wouldn't have the time to be able to show you all of the examples of this in Scripture. David is a classic example of this. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says at the time when kings were going forth to battle, David stayed home. And he rose up off of his bed at eventime. Now, there's a couple of things there. One of them is he was the king. It was time for the kings to go to battle. He was supposed to be out there fighting his enemies and protecting his people and doing what God had called him to do. But David had become so successful that now he could send other people to do what God called him to do. And so he stayed there. It says when kings go to battle, David wasn't out at battle. He was there at home. And it says he got up off of his bed at sunset. You know what? If you're just getting up when other people are ready to go to bed, and that means that, you know what, you're bored, that you aren't doing much. He wasn't busy. He wasn't taking care of the affairs of the kingdom. He was sleeping during the day and prowling at night. And that's what set up his sin with Bathsheba, was all of these things. You know, when David was in a cave running for his life and it looked like he was going to be killed at any moment, boy, David was seeking God with his whole heart. But when prosperity came, David began to coast. He didn't have to seek God with the same intensity. And then he had this relationship with Bathsheba and committed adultery with her, and he murdered her husband to cover up his sin and make it look like, you know, that this baby was his. And he did all of these things. But I guarantee you, sin doesn't come upon you like a seizure. You don't catch it like a cold. It's not something that just happened. You have to conceive sin is what it says over in James chapter 1. And you know what started his problem? It started way back here when he became so prosperous that he no longer had to do what kings did. He sent other people to do his fighting. He no longer had to be busy about the kingdom. He was coasting. He was bored. He quit seeking God. That's when his sin really took place. And the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband was just the outgrowth of this other thing. See, I've seen these things, and because of it, I don't know if everybody will understand what I'm saying here, but I'm just trying to be transparent with you. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit will take the things that I'm sharing about myself and apply it to you in a way that this will help you. But I know that there's other people that deal with this. But when Jamie and I first got started in the ministry, as I've related before, I mean, there was a long, long period of time to where we had to serve God. We had to seek God because we were going to die if we didn't. We didn't have a plan B or plan C. I didn't have anything to fall back on. And so necessity dictated that, man, I had to seek God or I was going to die in the process. And then when we begin to start seeing some success, you know, I was aware of what happened with David in these principles. I've got a teaching entitled Self-Centeredness, the Root of All Grief. And I tell you, it's one of the major things that God has taught me. And I have seen this principle that when people begin to start succeeding and they start having people recognize that God is using them, I have seen lots of people corrupted by that. I've seen that happen many, many times. I've seen, peers of mine, ministers, that started out with a pure heart, and then they get to reading their own press releases, and all of a sudden they don't need God anymore. And it's just like that plane. You step out of that plane. It doesn't matter how fast you're going, how high you're going. You get out of that plane. You get into your own self, and you're going to plummet. And I had seen this, and it wasn't a fear of failure. It was a fear that if I started taking the limits off of God, and if God really expanded this ministry, and if we became a dominant force in the body of Christ impacting people, I had a fear of what that was going to do to me, whether it was going to take away my relationship and my dependency upon God. I don't know if you understand that, but I'm just trying to say that, you know what, fear can come in a lot of different ways. It's not just a fear of failure. You can be afraid of success. There are some people that honestly are, they have adjusted to their situation. I remember this one guy. I won't tell you where this was, but this guy used to be the sheriff in a town where I was, and this guy got shot in a robbery attempt. He intervened, and somebody shot him in the back, and because of it, he'd been paralyzed for 25 years. And this man was in a wheelchair. I went over and prayed for this guy. And when I prayed for him, instantly he got his feeling back from his waist down. He started kicking his legs and moving them, and he had been paralyzed for 25 years. But he had had a gallbladder operation, and they had this tube in him. And, of course, he was sitting in a wheelchair, and so they had this thing adjusted so that if he stood straight up, it would have pulled this tube out. I started to tell him, I said, let's get out of the wheelchair and walk. And he said, oh, I've got this drainage tube in me. And he says, I'll have to wait until they take it out. And so I told him, I said, all right, you wait until they take this tube out, but then you get up and start walking. Well, he had the tube taken out within a week. But a couple of weeks later, he was still in his wheelchair. He could still move his legs, but he wasn't getting out of that wheelchair. And this time he didn't have an excuse. It's a long story. I'll cut it short. But a friend of mine was in town holding a meeting, and he saw through this guy. I just couldn't understand why this guy, I'd seen his legs move, and I knew God had done a miracle, and yet he couldn't get up and walk. And this friend of mine knew that this guy was afraid of walking. He was afraid of being out of that wheelchair. He had embraced that for 25 years. It wasn't only something physical that had happened to him, but mentally he was in a wheelchair. His mind was now paralyzed. And this guy had adjusted to his situation. And anyway, I didn't see it, but this friend of mine just called him out and says, you don't want out of that wheelchair. And it's a long story. I won't go through all of it. But anyway, it proved to be true. And I was talking to this guy. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, why wouldn't you want to be out of that wheelchair? And he broke down and started crying. And he says, you know, I was sheriff. And he said, I was this macho guy and I could do these things. He says, for 25 years I've been in a wheelchair and people honor me as a hero. They have me there and they honor me because I got hurt in the line of duty. He says, I'm getting welfare checks. He says, if I get up out of this wheelchair, I'm going to lose my welfare check. How will I survive? And he says, I don't know how to be anything but a sheriff. And it's been 25 years since I'm a sheriff. He says, I'm out of shape. I can't do it. What would I do? And he had a fear of succeeding. He had a fear of being healthy. He says, I can survive in this wheelchair. He says, I'm afraid to get up and start being a normal person. These people are going to think I faked this or something like that. They won't honor me anymore. I won't have the same level of sympathy and pity. And this man chose to stay in that wheelchair. And within a week or so of him making that confession, he once again became paralyzed. And I never was able to see that guy move. And you know what? There are people that are just like that. There are people that you know that your situation isn't what God wants, that God has more for you, but you've adjusted. In your mind, you're now sick. In your mind, you're now paralyzed. That's where you are. And you have a fear of getting out of that. It's just a fear of the unknown. People would rather deal with the hardships as hard as they are. They would rather deal with what they're comfortable with and what they know. The government has made it easy. They pay people who are invalid. They pay people to be disabled. There are a lot of people that it's just easier to limp through life than it is to be healed. And I'm telling you, fear can take a lot of different forms. It's not just a fear of failure. It could be a fear of success. And you know what basically turned me around when all of this thing that I've been describing today, how I had a fear of being a success and how it had turned me away from my dependency upon the Lord. As I prayed about it, the Lord just spoke to me and he said, Andrew, he says, I've been preparing you for 34 years. He says, you need to trust me. Amen. I hadn't looked at it that way. But there was 34 years of walking with the Lord that God had been speaking things into my life. And basically, it just comes down to faith and trust. Whatever your fear is, whether it's of success or whether it's of failure or whatever, fear brings a snare. Fear stops the power of God. Fear activates the devil in the same way that faith activates the things that God wants to do in your life. And the antidote for fear is God's kind of love. You just need to trust God. You need to let the love of God come and recognize that if God is leading you to do something, then whatever fear arises from you contemplating what God has told you to do, you just need to turn that over to God and you need to trust God with it. If God is leading you to do it, God is aware of every potential problem, all of the things that are involved with it, and God would never lead you to do anything to your detriment. God is not going to just use you up and abuse you. God is more concerned about you than He is about what you will do for Him. And so I want to encourage you today. I know that God is speaking to some people who have been limiting Him through fear, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of the unknown, fear of just being different. You need to step out and trust God and let God's perfect love cast that fear out. You know, I'm out of time today, but we will continue this series next week. I encourage you to join me on Monday's broadcast and also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this teaching on Don't Limit God.
Andrew's 5-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The third teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 3 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK149C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I'd like to encourage those of you who are watching this program and have been blessed by it to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing. You know, it cost us a lot of money to be on television, and there's so much more that I'm wanting to do. God has been speaking to me about, once again, I mean, reaching out there, and it's not in the too distant future that we are going to be increasing our monthly expense by about $500,000 a month. You know, it just costs money to do this, and I'd like to encourage you to be a blessing, to become a partner. We appreciate people to give whatever, but you know, our bills come in monthly, and it's the monthly partners who give us the foundation to do the things that we do. So pray about it. If this has been a blessing to you, then I ask you to be a blessing back. There's a number on your screen. Call or write and become a partner today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, Self-Centeredness, the Root of All Grief. This product is available in booklet form for a gift of any amount. Request booklet T315. Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Caris Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.